I spread a song so you can sing along with my special guest star
or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast by chance explores musicals for you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, Sean. With me today is a new guest of the pod. She's the third member of the Aficionados podcast discussing the Lost podcast. It's Casey Wall, everyone.
Woo! It's me. Hello. Everyone's like, who the heck is that? It's me. Well, it's Casey. Don't worry.
We'll find out. Yeah. And exactly. Maybe we have some Aficionados, or whatever your listeners are called, listening in, and they're like, we know Casey, we got her. So
that would be great.
Casey, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
I am fabulous. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so excited to be talking about Frozen 2.
Yes.
Yeah,
and as you said, we're talking about the 2019 Frozen 2 today. This screenplay is by Jennifer Lee, music and lyrics by Robert Lopez and Kristen Anderson Lopez. It's funny that, like, Disney is now having their own new wave of songwriters. So we've got the Lopez's and we've got Lin-Manuel Miranda.
And that's it.
And that's it, basically. Yeah. That's all they need, really.
I mean, true, honestly.
The music is by Chris Buck and Jennifer Lee. And according to IMDb, Anna, Elsa, Kristoff, Olaf, and Sven leave Arendelle to travel to an ancient autumn-bound forest of an enchanted land. They set out to find the origin of Elsa's powers in order to save their kingdom. That's not really what happens, but...
I mean, that's a very surface-level version.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a lot of, like, existential identity crises happening here.
So I know that this is part of my winter holiday episodes, but like this one isn't as wintry as the first one.
Definitely.
I mean, Elsa's there and she's frozen base powers, right. Ice powers, but I kind of forgot that because I've really only seen this movie once before today.
Wow.
I've listened to the album, but I've only seen the movie like once before in theaters in 2019.
I have easily seen this movie upwards of 15, 20 times.
I know it's a disservice for myself, but hey, I have a whole podcast where I talk about a lot of shit. So
it's true. It's true. You have a lot of other things to watch.
Give me a little bit of a grace period. But
yeah, understandable.
So you were given the opportunity to pick between Frozen and Frozen 2 because of the Robin and our you know, connecting, whatever. Mm-hmm. What word am I looking for?
The
Yes.
Oh, no, it's there. It's there.
Our mutual friend. That's it.
Mutual connection. Yeah.
Mutual connection, Robin. Gave you the option and you pick Frozen 2. Why?
Thank you so much for asking me that question. Frozen 2 is the superior Frozen movie. I will not be taking questions. It is so wonderful. It is a 5-star movie to me. Frozen original, great. Love it. I think people really slept on Frozen 2. I think it's far superior in terms of storytelling and songs. And I really, really love it. The story really resonates with me. I think the evolution of the characters is fantastic. I think Frozen is good all in its own right. I definitely do not hate on Frozen. It's a solid like 4-star for me. But Frozen 2, like, I remember seeing it in theaters and just like sobbing. Oh, it was magical.
We will get there.
Crying. Magical.
Well, it's great that you love it because I was doing a little bit of reading prior to this and on the Wikipedia they were talking about how like they didn't originally want to do a sequel because they didn't want it to be like a second movie letdown in a way. And then they were also focused on creating Frozen, the stage version. So then they were like, okay, Jennifer Lee, before you take over, we're gonna have you just write a sequel. And like
Yeah,
the
just do a sequel real quick. No pressure.
Lopezes had a hand in it. A bunch of other people helped with the story itself. Hold on, I do want to give this other person credit. Let me find it for a hot second. So when Jennifer took over as the COO of Disney, I believe that's what I was reading. Yes, Alison Schroeder was hired to assist her because Lee succeeded John Lasseter. Don? We're going with it. As the COO of Disney Animation. So no big deal. No big deal at all.
Not at all.
So with this movie, I like what they're doing. So it's interesting with the first movie that like they are coming to terms about things, and there's okay, I want to go there. I really want to go there right now. There's a
Let's do
lot
it.
of like queer undertones in the first one, but in this one they're a
They're
little
overtones. They're
yes.
overtones.
Yes.
I mean, come on. Honey Marin, lesbian
Honey Marin
icon.
is fucking flirting with her when she's talking about the fifth element. Let's be real here.
Literally, it's over. Like, there was just an article that came out that said Inside Out 2, which I don't know if you've seen that,
Yes.
was originally supposed to be more explicitly gay, but Disney producers toned it down, and I'm like, that was not explicitly gay. You had her playing ice hockey,
She was probably French kissing that girl.
staring at girls in the changing room. Like, that was ex if that wasn't explicitly gay, I want to know what Disney was originally going to do.
Well, so in this one, when we get to show yourself, that's when I
Yeah.
am ugly crying because it's her coming out to her mom who's dead, but her mom is
Absolutely.
still, it's still just like the romanticized, like, we still love you, child, for coming out. It's beautifully done. And I'm glad that I'm not the only one that sees that.
Oh my God, it's spectacular. And that is largely why it's my favorite movie. Because like you said, Frozen, the original Frozen, is queer in its own right, if you can like look for it. But I at least felt it very explicitly, like the first time I saw this movie. Like I saw Show Yourself and I'm like, okay, so that's a coming out scene.
That
What else
is,
is it?
yes.
What else is
The
it?
lyrics are, and I picked up on some dialogue this rewatch, because obviously it's been a few years since I've seen it, but I picked up on some dialogue, especially from Anna, just like talking about like what's inside and we see you. And I get it that environmentalism is the major theme of this movie, but like, give us the queer side. Come on,
You know
everyone.
what? Queer culture goes hand in hand with environmentalism. It's all connected, so
She's a crunchy granola lesbian who wants to save the planet.
yes, she is. Yes, she is. And she does.
And
Not by
she
hiding her
does.
queerness, but by embracing it. And that is
And
why Frozen 2 is the superior Frozen.
looking fabulous the whole time.
Absolutely stunning. Absolutely stunning. I mean, I was going to save this, but this doesn't even come up like during a song, so I'll just say it now. But there is nothing more realistic to me than the moment when Elsa ties her hair back before going to like fight against the waves. One of my biggest pet peeves in movies, animated or not, is when like you have these women fighting and they're not pulling their hair back.
Oh,
If
yeah.
I was like going up against like a tsunami, you bet your ass that I'm pulling my hair back into a ponytail before I do that.
Would you? Okay, so I'm somebody who clearly, as you can see, does not really have hair.
Oh my God.
And I've never really had long hair. I always keep it short and everything. So in this instance, going against, the Knicks. Or the Kelpie, whatever they what I Nyx, because that's what the creature is. Would you do a ponytail or would you do a bun? So this way it doesn't flap around all over you.
Okay, great question. I personally would do a bun. Like, my go-to style is actually a bun, but just anything that gets the hair out of the
Out of the
face.
way,
Like,
of course.
I can't sleep with my hair in my face. Like, if I'm working out, I'm not working out with my hair in my face. Like, it's not
No.
realistic. It's not realistic. I personally would do a bun, but I respect the ponytail.
I also like the fact that, so in the first movie, they did. This is gonna sound weird, everyone. They didn't have to animate toes because they never, she was never barefoot, but in this one, they did.
Yes.
So they had to go back and reanimate her body for this scene that we're talking about,
Yes.
which is another point where it's like, at least she's barefoot and not like wearing heels and running on water.
Yeah. The I would say the barefoot feels unrealistic to me. Like, if you have ever walked barefoot on a rocky beach, you know, ow. I'm gonna credit it to the fact that, like, her icy superpowers are, like, maybe making, like, a little barrier for her feet
Right,
or
of
something.
course.
I don't
But
know.
it's not like Bryce Dallas Howard in Jurassic World.
Literally walking around a dinosaur island
Running from a Tyrannosaurus Rex in
in
heels.
stilettos. Yes.
Yeah.
Insane. It's camp. I love it. It's not realistic.
But I digress. So, okay. Before we started, you were talking about how you're like big into Disney. Disney is your thing. Did you see the, I know there were shorts in between, like that were came out between the first movie and the second movie. Did you see those? Because I didn't.
I don't think I ever watched the shorts. I did, however, watch, there is a phenomenal documentary about the making of Frozen 2. Like, it's called, like, Behind the Magic or something. It's like an elaborate, like, 5 or 6 part docuseries about the entire making of Frozen from beginning to end. Like, it shows you the cast in the singing booths, the
Wow.
animation, and they go into all the work that it takes to animate literally like 5 seconds of footage. It's spectacular. I would recommend it to absolutely anyone.
To kind of correct you, sorry,
Oh,
I just have all my stuff open. It's called
yes.
Into the Unknown, Making Frozen 2.
That makes way more sense than
Yes.
Behind the Magic. I was something like that.
Close
Yeah.
enough. I mean, there's
It's
magic involved
exactly.
and yeah.
Yeah, it's on Disney Plus. I would recommend it to literally anyone. Even if you don't think you're the biggest Frozen fan, go watch it. Like, it's a really well done documentary in its own right. But especially joyful for fans of the franchise. But yeah, it was really, really spectacular.
I mean,
So yeah.
I do remember really liking this the first time I watched it. And, doing this for the podcast, I still like it. I just watched it a little differently than the first time because now I'm like, oh, I mean, I didn't really take that much, a lot of notes for this one because I was thoroughly enwrapped into the story and everything.
Yes.
But there was one thing that I did write down where I was like, this opening is how American history looks, books gloss over events to make us the quote unquote good guys. Because clearly, what are they called? The Northuldra tribe are, well, so yes, they're kind of Native Americans, indigenous people for America, but they're also based off of the Sami people in Norway, Sweden, Finland,
Nordic.
and a little Russia. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nordic. You're right. So, where a lot of the this movie did their like they did their homework for this because I was the quick reading I did on the Wikipedia page, they're talking about how the dam is a reference to something that happened to the Sami people, the way that Anna and Elsa's grandfather talks about how they believe in magic and all that is something that happened to them as well, because, you know, God forbid people have another religion
Oh, come on.
and believe and like believe in the elements and everything, and the, like, you know, praise the earth. But yeah, the one thing I will ding this movie on, go with me on this one, is that they don't explore that more. I know that this, I know we're getting a Frozen 3. I know that. And potentially, and at the end of this movie, Anna is now queen and Elsa is her free lesbian self.
Yes, that's her official title.
Yeah. And the fifth element. Screw you, Mia Jovovich. It is now Elsa of Arendelle.
Exactly.
but I just wish that they kind of explored a little bit more these people.
Yeah, I think that is the biggest downfall of this movie is the white saviorism of it all. And you know, they try to avoid that by, you know, in the end being like, oh no, the white people were the bad people actually. But they it's very surface level. They it
But also they skirt around the white savior by being like, Anna and Elsa are half Northuldrians.
And it's like, why have we never addressed that before? It's very messy.
Yeah. And they
I
had
know
the
that
time. That's a sad thing. They had the time to figure out these kinks.
yeah, very much so. I know I can't remember if it's in the documentary or if I just saw it somewhere else, like around when the movie came out. I know they the like creators of the film did consult like indigenous tribes to get their input on, you know, all these
Oh
different
yeah.
elements, and that's
They
great, but how it ends up coming off is just an amalgamation of indigenous stereotypes being smushed together. Like, when Yelena introduces herself to Anna and Elsa and everyone, she says, "We're Northuldra, the people of the sun." What? That
So
doesn't mean anything. We don't
yeah.
get anything about that. That
Yeah,
it just seems very indigenous, like woo-woo. This is a mysterious way to introduce ourselves. Like, no, don't just throw that line in there. Like, make it mean something.
it kind of feels like they did the Moana treatment, where they're
Yes.
not specifying a specific
That's it.
region or culture or tribes, but they are being an amalgamation of a lot of things, and you're like, okay. I mean, I get it. We're saying this person has ice powers, so you're asking to for us to believe in a lot of things. So it works in a way, but like it doesn't at the same time.
Yeah, it just it's just messy.
But, I was reading that, like, because this another theme held over from the first movie is like especially in this day and age of the Disney animated movies, is like feminism. And, you know, Kristoff in this one, when he at the end, when he helped, when he wants to help, he goes to Anna, "I'm here, what do you need?" You know, he's not, I know. We love
Kills
a golden
me.
retriever.
We really do.
But they've been talking about how like the female divinity in this is like a big theme, where like the women are powerful and the men are usually are not only white men are seen as villains, but men are villains in this. Which is also a theme from the first movie with what's his butt? Hans? Hans.
Hans, ugh.
Yeah.
Tag
Oh.
yourself. I'm Elsa destroying his ice statue. Relatable queen.
I also have, so there's a, I did a little more research than usual because I need to impress Casey. I was reading on IMDb that about the voice that we hear. So Aurora is the artist. She is a Norwegian singer, but what she's singing is called, and forgive me, I am not Nordic by any means, so I'm going to pronounce this wrong, but what we hear is a type of Scandinavian herding song called Kolning. Kolning, where it's historical. It's like done, it's not a new thing. And apparently the melody used for this specific one is Dies Irae, which is from the 13th century and has been referred to the wrath of God's judgment on humanity.
Wow. Okay. That's
So
intense.
this is from IMDb trivia. So again, grain of salt, everyone. But I read that and I was like, huh.
That's a fun fact.
But
Fun
like,
fact
you know.
or fun myth, it's fun.
But yeah, but like, I mean, honestly, you read the Snow Queen and you're like, oh, this is nothing like what they turned into Frozen. So with this movie as well, it feels like they're following in Marvel's footsteps and are discussing trauma as well. Anna specifically is still traumatized by the events that happened apparently 3 years ago in the world of Frozen.
Yeah, that doesn't make okay. If you say so, Frozen, I don't. It's yeah, the timeline's fuzzy, I gotta say.
Yeah, because then they also talk about how long the parents' ship has been missing, but they changed that from the first movie to the second movie.
Yeah. Not consistent.
Which, by the way, this is my favorite fan theory that connects Frozen, Little Mermaid, Tangled, and
Yes,
Tarzan.
I've seen this.
And you look at the ship, and it does look like the ship from Little Mermaid. So, okay, for those of you who don't know, the fan theory is that Anna and Elsa's parents, I mean, they kind of dispute that in this movie, but like, not really,
You can
are,
still
you
make it work.
can still make it work, are going via ship to Rapunzel's something or other. Coronation, birth, some sort of birthday party, who knows? And along the way, they get shipwrecked, and the ship is used in Little Mermaid in the beginning during the shark chase. But then the parents are lost on an island and have another child, a son named Tarzan. Which I hope this
Insane.
is true. Like, somebody
One can only, I mean, it would be so freaking incredible to have that long con.
Yes.
Just so good.
Or they were just like, we need a ship.
Yeah,
We need a ship. Oh, hey, Little Mermaid, we have
We had
the
a ship in this
sketches.
movie.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah, that's one of my favorite fan theories out there of anything.
So in the in we kind I kind of we kind of talked about it already, but in this movie we are introduced to four different elemental spirits. We've got a fire spirit, which is supposed to be a salamander.
The
I
cutest little
mentioned,
guy.
oh my
I love
God,
him.
so adorable, which apparently is based off of the, is it a chameleon entangled? Like the design of the
Oh,
salamander.
yeah. There, she has a chameleon. I forget his name.
Yes.
That's embarrassing of me.
We talked about the Nyx, which is the water element. Then we have rock giants, I believe that's what
Yeah,
they call them,
those big guys.
as the earth, and then just a breeze, which was interesting because the theme of this is the environment and environmentalism and save the environment and all that, that two of the four elemental spirits are not like animals or creatures that are of nature descent.
Like not physical beings.
Right, which is fascinating. I so you know more about this, or I didn't have a chance to look at the documentary. Did they talk about that?
Not really. I mean, it's been a couple of years since I watched it, but I don't think that came up, like for an explanation why like some of them have like physical embodiments and others don't. It
Yeah,
doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
so really wind, air. Sorry, this is so Avatar: The Last Airbender right now.
That's exactly
Air.
what it is.
It's Avatar: The Last Airbender meets Frozen. Air doesn't have any sort of physical manifestation besides like wisps
Right,
that,
yeah.
which makes sense in a way, but at the same time, I'm like, make the wisps into like a bird or something.
Right, just something that flies.
Yeah, find. I don't. Well, I was reading that the fire spirit is based off of European mythology, thinking that salamanders could like eat fire. I believe that's what
Whoa.
I read. And then, as I said, Nyx are actual mythological creatures. But then, like the rock golems. I don't know. I didn't see anything about them. I also did a cursory glance, everyone. So, as much research as I've done, it's not enough. And I feel like there could have been some sort of mythological creature for both earth and air.
Yeah, I feel like you would have a lot to work with. But instead,
Yeah.
we just have rock giants and an invisible
But don't get me
breeze.
wrong, the rock giants were fucking cool and very
They're dope as
helpful.
hell and integral to like the climax of the story
Yeah.
and breaking down the dam. So
So,
they're sick, but
okay. So we got the four elements, and the fifth element that, what's her butt, Elsa's wife, Honey
Honey
Marin,
Marin.
says that Elsa is the fifth element, but also Anna is.
Yeah, I gotta say, it doesn't fully connect in my brain. Like, okay, so are you saying that like ice is the fifth spirit, or that just Elsa's aura is the fifth element, and like also with on it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, like trying to make it add up, I have to say. Like it's kind of like the problem with like the storytelling of the indigenous people being just very vague and kind
Surface.
of disconnected. I feel like that kind of resonates throughout the whole story, where like they're just kind of saying things that sound cool, but like don't really mean anything.
So, do you, in your humble and honest opinion, would it be better if this was longer than an hour and 45 minutes, or would it be better if they turned it into like a series and explored more of this?
Oh, interesting. I definitely don't think it should be longer. Like, it's already quite long for like an animated Disney movie. It's like an hour 40 minutes or something.
Yeah.
Which is quite long. But I don't think it would do well in like short form content either.
Like 45-minute episodes.
Yeah, I think that would be tricky. I think.
Well, so the other thing too is that this movie likes to focus on Kristoff and Olaf a lot, because
Yeah.
Olaf from the first movie is still considered comic relief, and he has now an existential crisis throughout the whole movie. Because he's regained consciousness and is now getting older like everyone else, and he's experiencing a lot of things that some people are still trying to go through.
Oh man, some people just never get through
Some
it.
people never get through. But then we have Kristoff, who's trying to propose to Anna and is saying all the wrong words and everything. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I fucking love Lost in the Woods.
Oh yeah, snaps for
Snaps
Lost in
to
the
that.
Woods.
And it's great that we get Jonathan Groff again singing his heart out, but like that's like 3 minutes that we could focus on something.
Yeah, I think in terms of plot points that we could have done without those two, both Olaf and Kristoff's stories, I think could have gone to the wayside a little bit.
But I get it. Olaf is the fan favorite. He's the toy that probably sells the most
Exactly.
because he's cute and he is the sidekick. Well, not sorry. Sven is the non-talking animal sidekick, but Olaf is the comic relief sidekick. Which, by the way, I had a whole moment realizing that I think all the animal sidekicks in every Disney movies are basically dogs. Like they may be a different animal, but they act like dogs.
Yes, 1000%. Pua from Moana, that's a dog. It's a pig, but it's a dog.
Yes, because watching Sven sit like a dog, I
That's a
went,
dog.
oh. And in some of the ways that he's acting, and especially when Kristoff does the whole voice, it's
It's
like,
extremely dog owner behavior.
yeah. And I feel like he's more of a dog in this one than in the first movie.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
Because this one,
That's
I the other thing, another little ding to this movie, not as bad as what we've talked about with the indigenous tribes and everything. But another ding with this one is that I think they leaned a little too much into the silliness of things.
That's a fair criticism.
But I
That's a
think
fair
that is
criticism.
also around Olaf.
Yeah. I think it kind of skews the balance of his story. Like you're trying to tell this story of this like little snowman going through an existential crisis, but you're also having him like make all these quips. And I get it, but again, it's just like some of those things, like we get it. Olaf's funny. When I saw this movie in theaters and I saw the Samantha scene for the first time, I kid you not, I had tears running down my face because I was laughing so hard. That was the funniest thing to me. But
Which is
like,
improvised as well.
was so funny. It was so funny. So like that I love. But then like a bunch of the other stuff, like him running into the mist and like bouncing back like over and over again, like, okay, let's do a story.
And then when he dies, basically, I
Oh,
am crying. I mean,
horrible.
he has the most growth throughout this whole movie. And that's the saddest thing, because he's a secondary character.
He goes through a whole journey, but I think that is part of the problem is that, like, okay, the point is supposed to be Elsa's journey and like who she is now that she's embraced these powers. But you also have this little snowman guy who's not even, the main character, and you're trying to throw in a whole character arc from like beginning of life to end for him.
Right.
And that's tough to balance.
I think there's four. I mean, there's four character arcs in this. We got Anna, Elsa, Olaf, and Kristoff. Because Kristoff's start is like trying to get married, and then I mean, they end married, which is great, but like,
It's very flat. There's no
yeah. The and even
peaks and valleys.
and even the jokey moments where he's saying the wrong words and Anna is just jumping on him. I'm like, this isn't that funny.
Yeah, and they play it like over and over again. Like, each time that like Kristoff starts trying that, like, he's gonna somehow mess it up. And they do that like three or four times, and it's like, we get it. We get
Yeah.
it.
But I mean, at the end, when he finally says the right words, and Sven is crying, and I'm kind of giggling because, like, Sven is crying, but
Yeah.
it took him this whole journey to find the correct words to say to her, which is a trope done outside of Disney. I mean, it's a popular trope when it comes to proposing. But Anna, okay, I kind of started with her that she was still traumatized from before. But I don't know. There was just something. It was a little much.
I think Anna was done the most disservice, and I think most of that comes from her. The part that she has to play in Kristoff's story. It feels a lot like she's not getting her own story, which she very much is. Like
Oh, yeah.
you said, she's traumatized. She was completely like betrayed and nearly
Died.
killed, yeah,
He
by
fucking died.
a man who convinced her that she loved him. Like, that's traumatic. She nearly lost her sister. Like, she lost her parents, maybe 6 years ago, maybe more. Who's to say? We don't know. She's
But
been through so much.
that's so weird because, like, okay, so they say that they're in the mist for almost 35 years, give or take. And the parents, Elsa's parents, or Elsa and Anna's parents, are teenagers in this flashback.
Yeah, I would say like teens or tweens. Maybe like 12. I don't know.
So
I'm really bad at guessing how old children are.
then how old are they supposed to be in the opening?
I don't know.
Right.
Like maybe like 20 years or so have passed, but then that doesn't track with when Anna and Elsa go to the forest. The timeline is doesn't.
Doesn't
The
make
math isn't mathing.
sense. Yeah. Well, we don't actually see how old they are when the parents set sail in either
No, I
movie.
think, well, I think we see a scene of them like saying goodbye, like as they're embarking on the journey. But
Unless
I
this
don't
is
know.
one of those shorts that I have not watched yet,
No, I think
and
this is in the first movie, when we're getting the backstory.
I don't
And
remember. I don't remember that. My apologies, everyone. I
it's
know.
okay. I also haven't seen the movie in a very long time, but I'm pretty sure there's a scene where they're like saying goodbye to their parents. And they, okay, the parents couldn't have been dead much longer than when the first movie takes place, because the whole point of the first movie is that Elsa is being moved into the royal
Royal.
position, she's being coronated. So.
Right.
But yeah,
It's weird.
yeah.
And that one is her not wanting to grow up, and then this one is her. Is it that she, because she doesn't also feel in this movie like she's weighed down by the responsibilities. It looks like she's thriving in the beginning.
Mean, I think there's still an air of nervousness to her, which I kind of see.
Especially in that opening when that royal person,
Yeah.
royal servant scares her and she freezes her
Yeah,
hands to the
like
balcony.
she's very much always on edge, I'm sure.
Right, but during the song, Some Things Never Change,
Yeah, it is, her
they
verse
have,
is very triumphant,
yeah.
I
I
felt.
mean, I get it that Into the Unknown, which is a fucking amazing song,
Oh, so good.
is kind of her I want song for this movie, but
Oh,
also
yeah.
it's the premise of the movie where she's being pulled onto this journey and everything, but it doesn't seem like she's, I don't know, I feel like they needed to marinate more. I think that's basically it. Like, the writers needed to marinate more on this to give us something. I mean, this movie is great. I love what's going on, but once you start talking about it and nitpicking it, you're like,
Oh yeah.
oh, we're finding all the flaws now.
Oh yeah. And like I said, like this is a 5-star movie for me, but like when I look too closely, I'm like, yeah, that doesn't make sense, or that wasn't done great, but like still like the whole arc as a whole, I love. But I think where the movie really kind of fails, if anywhere, is like in the details, in terms of the story. Because,
Not in the animation, though.
oh my God,
That
no, not at all.
water.
Spectacular.
I honestly thought that they filmed a storm happening and drew Elsa into it. That's how well
It's
done it was.
spectacular. And again, the documentary shows in depth that scene, the animating process of that scene at the end where the water is rushing through the fjord. And my God, I don't know how animators do it. I really don't. It's magic. It's
So,
magic.
with that moment in the movie, not with it is magical and it's great how they do it, and I don't understand technology by any means. But with that moment, do you? I was reading that somebody said that it like kind of undercut the environmentalism theme, that the fact that they saved Arendelle but also saved the I keep forgetting the name of the tribe. I'm
The North
sorry.
Uldra.
The North Uldren tribe, yeah. How do you feel about that, though?
Yeah, that I you can't really have both when it comes to like environmentalism. Like something always has to give, like in reality.
Right.
I love it for the story, but like in the end, Arendelle, which were actually the bad people all along, all those years ago, do end up being spared because they corrected like one wrong deed, and it's not necessarily enough. I mean, I think visually that moment of like just Elsa up against that entire wave is just spectacular, and it is also a great moment to show how she has learn to control her powers. So it's a really great storytelling piece for her, just not necessarily for like the narrative of the whole film, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it also plays into like n the sins of the past. Hold on, wait, what do I want to say?
I'm
Like
so with you.
not everyone is involved, like all the Arendellians, if that's how the name is, they're not all evil. Yes, they're probably complicit. Yes, they've been taught a sort of different rewriting of history about what happened between them and the Northuldrens, but I feel like it should have been a cathartic, like we have to destroy Arendelle. They had to have
Yeah.
destroyed Arendelle. I get it that it's great, and she's now and now Elsa is probably part of the MCU as a superhero and all that, but I.
Think that would have been a way cooler and more satisfying ending if like Arendelle had been wiped out and now they have to like create something new.
Right, because the whole tone of the movie is a little more adult. It's a little, like, yes, there's silly
Very.
moments, but like it's doing things that I'm liking, and I hope future Disney properties continue with that. Like
Yeah.
Pixar is
And they are. Like,
yeah, I'm looking
Disney
for.
movies in the past, like, 5 to like 7 years, my God, children aren't gonna understand those themes, like Inside Out 2, we were talking about. These kids don't understand anxiety. Like, I saw that movie and I was like, no child will understand this, but here I am sobbing because I feel so seen.
Right.
Encanto, whole film about generational trauma. what 5-year-old is gonna be sitting there like, oh yeah, this movie really makes me think about how trauma is passed from grandmother to mother to daughter.
Right,
Like,
but then with like this one, if we teach kids about reparations and like, you know, breaking down, basically breaking down the grandfather character to being like, this is the villain, this is what we're not doing anymore. You know, and in that context, it was great. And I feel like there's other movies we can pull from that are breaking down those barriers to like, even during the Disney Renaissance, though great movies and very nostalgic for me, the women need a man still, to for the most part. There's still some, or there's still like the love story. This one is just so complicated because we have the four main characters that, you know, like we said, they give too much emphasis on two of them, but still, like, they are very complex and they are not like Kristoff, once he realizes that danger is afoot, he doesn't care about. He forgets. He has to be reminded that he wanted to propose to Anna. So it kind of works, but also, again, like we've been saying, I feel like we're missing something, and I don't know exactly what.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's just we scratch the surface of so much, and we just don't really get like concrete answers
And I
to things.
totally am having a disassociative moment where I'm like, yes, we are two adults talking about a movie in depth geared towards kids. But like, it's also geared. I'm going to make an assumption right now. Please correct me if I'm wrong. You're a millennial.
I'm on the cusp.
You're on the
I'm a
cusp.
zillennial.
Okay. So, but
27.
you're still of the one of the time where you grew up watching the Renaissance movies. So I
Yes.
feel like they are not only trying to appease new kids of today, but also like us who grew up with like the best time of Disney movies, and we are now looking at it very critically as adults. But it's still, I mean, honestly, I still love this movie. I know we're nitpicking and everything,
Oh
and
yeah, that's because that's what we came here to do, to
well, yeah.
nitpick. It's very easy to just say like, yeah, I love this movie, and end of
The
discussion. But no, I think what makes something great is the ability to be able to criticize it in a thoughtful way. And like, that's very much this movie for me. Like, we talked about, Anna's arc not really being like fulfilled and satisfying in this film, but her arc is also on par with Elsa's for me because of the emotion that I know went into forming her character. I don't know if you came across this, but Chris Buck, one of the, who was he? The
directors.
director? One of the directors of this movie, he very tragically lost his son. His son had cancer, went into remission, and died in a tragic car accident at the age of 23. Like, ho horrible, horrible. The character of Ryder is actually named after his son. His son's name was Ryder. And
Another queer moment in this movie, by the way.
yes. Oh,
Ryder
yes.
and
That
Kristoff
is.
realizing that they're the same person. I'm like,
Those are two little gay boys, okay?
yeah. I don't want to put a label on what their sexuality is, but I think they're going to be kissing later.
I think they should explore each other's bodies. I don't know. I'm just saying they had that look in their eyes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's them. The biggest lie that Frozen has ever sold us is that Kristoff is a straight man. That's not true. That's inaccurate.
He's a little bi.
He's fruity. He's fruity.
I won't say he's completely gay. I think he does honestly love Anna. I just, you know,
Yeah.
he's a little curious.
Yeah, exactly. I think he has some curiosities that he needs to explore.
Yeah.
But what was I say? Oh, Anna's song at the end, The Next Right Thing, that song was written as like a tribute to Chris Buck's son. So
Oh.
like knowing that, and also like in the documentary, Kristen opens up about her experience like with depression, and I myself am I have chronic depression. And so like knowing those things in the background and like the heart that went into that is what makes me appreciate Anna's story so much. Like on the surface, I don't think her story in this movie is good, but I think knowing what I do makes me appreciate it so much more. And it's just unfortunate that like people don't go into this movie knowing that, and the film didn't do the best at like fully exploring
Well,
those
so
themes.
the ending kind of mirrors what happens in the first movie, where Elsa loses her sister and has to find the strength to move on. And yes, that causes Anna some trauma, but I feel like when Olaf passes and they realize that Elsa has died in a way, Anna is now understanding her sister more. And I think that's when we get to the next right thing. Honestly, we've all sung this song to ourselves in some way, shape, or form. And
I sing this to myself all the time.
I wrote that down too, where we may be a little sad, but we have to just keep on going. Or hell, even if something has surfaced as like waking up and going to work. Like,
The worst,
the worst, but you
the worst
gotta,
experience.
it's put one foot in front of the other kind of a
Right.
way.
Not looking too far ahead. Don't,
And
'cause
now,
that's when things get fuzzy, when you start spiraling over, oh my God, my sister's gone. Oh my God, what does that mean? Oh my God, who's gonna watch the kingdom? Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. You can't spiral like that. You just gotta put one foot in front of the other.
and in this specific case, like their mission is not completed
Right.
yet.
Right.
She realized what she has to do. Yes, we had a very sad moment, but like we gotta go. And only in this type of movie can you do that. I feel like if this was real life, I'd be like, burn it all to the ground.
Yeah, be like, actually, nothing's worth living for anymore. Bye. Let's all call it a
Bye.
day. But no, it's such a great moment because I think that kind of strength is she only could have learned from Elsa, and that's why it's such a beautiful like tribute to her sister, and a way of honoring her is I know that if my sister were in this position right now, she her mind would be on one thing, and it would be making sure that we right this wrong.
Which I didn't know that about Chris Buck and everything.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
It's very insightful. But speaking of similarities, there's just one more thing I want to mention, and that is Olaf's song, Something's nope, not that one. When
When I'm
I am
older.
older, I think it's the same melody and music to In Summer. It sounds
That would
so
make
much the same.
sense.
But it's not a reprise, because like
Right.
we get a reprise of Reindeers Are Better Than People in
Yep.
this, which leads into the epic 80s power ballad
80s
of Alone in the
ballad.
Woods. But honestly, that felt like it felt like it was an Olaf theme that they then played with.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
I mean, don't get me wrong, the Lopezes are fucking phenomenal. Knowing their body of work a little bit, watching the Agatha all along with the variations of the Ballad of the Witch's Road, they write epic tunes. And
Truly.
I'm so happy they got Panic at the Disco to cover Into the Unknown,
What a killer cover. What a way to end the movie.
where he I know I've seen videos of Brandon Urie singing Disney songs, because I think this was his dream job. And they
Oh my God.
found the right song. And I mean, Idina Menzel does a fantastic job, and it's
Of
very
course.
tonally different because it's following the story. But like, I'm sorry, Adina. Panic at the Disco blows you out of the water.
It's insane. The composition is just out of this world.
And the fact that that starts the end credits.
Yes. That is how you end a Disney movie. That's insane. I think Panic at the Disco should end every Disney movie.
Oh,
I think that would be phenomenal.
I would love that, especially if they're not if it's not warranted.
Right. Exactly.
We gotta
Completely out
go
of the blue.
hard.
Yes. Would love
But
it.
Casey, is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
Oh, let's see. I talked about lesbian Elsa.
We went
Talked
into
about we
environmentalism
did
and
some,
native
yeah, some
tribes,
fishy
indigenous.
tropes that don't work so well. I think that's pretty much it for me.
Are you looking forward to Frozen 3? Whatever it's going to be.
I am. I am getting frustrated with Disney not creating any new original material, or when they do create original material, it flops, and people are like, this is why we don't create original material anymore, and we only do sequels and threequels and trico. I don't know.
Make a franchise out of something.
Like, not everything has to be a franchise. Things can just be individual entities. But Frozen 1 and 2 were so good. I'm sure the third is going to be great.
And if the
I
Lopez's are
hope,
still attached to it.
I know. I hope it's still Chris Buck and Jennifer Lee. I hope it's still the Lopez's. And I hope they just do a little more exploration of kind of the worlds that they're setting up, you know. Just let's dig a little deeper.
And Alison Schroeder, I want to give her a little credit
Yes.
too, because I don't know how much she wrote of it, but they mentioned her
Yeah.
in IMDb and Wikipedia, so we're gonna mention her too.
Definitely.
But let's get into Sharp and Flat, shall we?
Amazing.
Sharp Flat.
So in this segment, we're going to highlight some moments whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. I want to start with flats because I don't really have that many. I wrote down one and I'm going to add a second one per our conversation. So the one I wrote down is for Olaf for the most part. He was a little much. But, when he brings about one of the themes of water having a memory or having memory, like that was great. Him dying is I can't put it to words. It is powerful. And then my last flat that I'm adding per our conversation is how the loose ends, the wishy-washy, not definitive nature of the script. I feel like honestly they edited out things that they should have kept in, or they should have edited out some things that
To make room
to make
for.
room for more exploration of things.
Yeah, I will co-sign you on that flat. The
Great.
vague mythology doesn't work well for me, especially in regards to the North Uldra. Other flats, I think, not total flats. Like, I appreciated them, but Kristoff and Olaf for me were just like,
For the
these
most
could have,
part,
yeah.
like my little disclaimer with Olaf, where he did have some good moments, I will say that.
Yes.
It's just like when he recreated or he reenacted the first movie. I was like, why?
I will disagree with you there. I love that because my absolute favorite quote from the entire movie is, "At least they had their parents. Their parents were dead." That is the funniest delivery, the most hilarious thing. I saw this in theaters with my sister, and she and I just kept quoting that to each other, like, for weeks on end afterwards. Like, their parents are dead. It's so dark. I loved that. But I do feel like a lot of his stuff was not really necessary. And I think you could have still told the story of like this little snowman has some thoughts and feelings now without all that he got, if that makes sense. Again, I just wish there was more room for some more mythology and like world building stuff. And I think him and Kristoff's stories could have been chopped up a little bit to make room for some more satisfying plots.
But any other flats?
I think that's it for me.
Okay. So for sharps, I sharped into the unknown first and foremost. Like, my God. Both versions are so different, but it's the same words.
The
Unlike
same power.
the what we're getting, or sorry, this is in the future. Unlike what we got with the Ballad of the Witch's Road, where every time they sing it, it's different lyrics, and yes, they change genres and everything. With the movie version and the Panic at the Disco version, it's the same words, different versions, but you're getting the same feeling, but in a different way, I feel like.
It's a different flavor, but it's
Like,
like
yeah, like Idina Menzel singing it feels like I'm about to go on a journey, and Brandon Urie screlting it is him saying, "You're riding on a horse, and this is the soundtrack that's happening whilst on the journey."
Head first.
I also sharped Elsa's jacket. I fucking loved it. I
Oh, stunning. She is giving looks this whole movie.
the Wikipedia page, and I'm assuming the documentary, talked about the different technologies that they used, and they were able to get a little more detailed with things. So, like, you can see the beading done, and it looks beautiful. Her dress at the end, I'm not sure if it's like coming out of her skin, but that's another question for another
Pale
day.
girl problems, you know, can't
Yeah.
tell if the clothing, if the white clothing is coming from you or if it's on you.
I'm also gonna sharp Lost in the Woods, both the song and the music video of it. It is wild. I don't know if it actually belongs in the movie, but I don't care.
I'm on the same page. It's so camp. It's so great. I think it definitely could have been cut to add more important things, but that's something where I'm like, I'm willing to sacrifice 3 minutes of world building for this
As long as we still
insanity.
had it some as a deleted scene or something, like as long as we still got what we got, I want it to exist in the world still. But if it's
Legendary.
cut from the movie to make room for something else, I'm with you on that. I'm also going to sharp the design of the elemental spirits. They were
Stunning.
stunning. It was not what I would expect. Especially the salamander, and like the fact that they use pink fire instead of red.
Love.
I
Wish
love
all
that.
fire was pink.
And then my last sharp is for the water. Like, again, I thought it was real. So,
Insane.
future movies that need CGI water, you talk to Disney.
Reference Frozen 2
Yes, because
specifically.
while the water in Moana was fantastic, I think they one-upped themselves with this
This
one.
is different. Like, coursing water itself is very like, I don't know how they did it. I
And
don't know how they did it.
I love that they used the Nyx as like a representation of the waves and the storm. So it's like galloping around angrily, and
Yeah, it has the same movement.
yeah. What about you? What were your sharps?
All right, my first sharp is definitely Show Yourself, queer anthem. I mean, endless snaps, tears, sobbing,
Ugly crying.
ugly crying, ugly crying. It is so, it surpasses Let It Go for me. from the first
Interesting.
film. I know, another hot take.
Well, even though I think they wanted Into the Unknown to be the let it go of this movie,
Yeah.
but I see you. And we didn't mention Evan Rachel Wood is the voice of their
Oh,
mother and
yes.
sings with Idina Menzel. And oh my God.
Spectacular. I loved the blending of their voices in Show Yourself. And
Yes.
how Show Yourself and All Is Found
Yeah.
intertwine with each other. That was chef's kiss. Beautiful.
I mean, these people, the Lopez's should do this for a living.
They really should. I have a great career for them if they need any
Oh,
suggestions. I will also char The Next Right Thing, because I can't listen to it without sobbing. I think it's so beautifully written. Kristen's voice is not my favorite for some of the notes that she's hitting, but the lyrics are so beautiful, and everything else about the song is so beautiful. So that's definitely a sharp for me. Another sharp, I would definitely be with you on Elsa's costume design. Spectacular, spectacular. It's so ethereal and beautiful.
Yeah, and they
And
pulled influence from Alexander McQueen and Ellie
oh,
Saab.
of course they did. Of course they did. It's
Meanwhile, Anna was
stunning.
more Norwegian folk
Yeah, yeah,
inspired.
yeah, yeah. Yeah, Elsa's outfits were really on
Yeah.
another level, even compared to the first movie. And then I think I will also agree with you on the design of the water. Like, it really blew my mind. Like, especially that end scene with the fjord. It's just
It's all
how do
zeros and
they
ones, really, if you
how
think about
that's
it.
that's ins that's absolutely insane. I will never understand. And like, oh, it also just gives you such an appreciation for like genuine artists in
Yes.
the world of AI. Like, no, I
Right.
can very clearly tell when something is made by AI because it looks terrible and unrealistic. Like,
Yeah, there was moments though with this one that it felt a little disjointed animation style wise because of the design of the characters, but then the design
sure.
of the landscape.
That's very fair.
It was a little disjointed, but like that's because I think the landscape is leaps and bounds further than what they do with their character designs. And this is not just for Frozen. This is like all
Oh,
of
yeah.
their CGI animated movies.
Yeah.
It's just a little critique that I have of them.
Yeah. And especially compared to like the landscapes in the first movie, like this is, I'm sure they didn't know that they were gonna create an enchanted forest in the sequel, and like that's very clearly gonna be like way more intricate and involved than like a Scandinavian castle. Disney castle, like
or a tundra.
right.
Is that it for Sharps?
I think that is it for me.
Would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist? Now, because you're new and I want to give you a little more context for this question. It's not necessarily like a forever, like you're gonna, how do I want to word this? To me, I like to answer this as if I'm not watching the movie by any means. I'm just listening to the album, whether I'm cleaning or on a road trip or at the gym, you know, like what songs would you listen to from this without any visuals? And for me, I wrote down both versions of Into the Unknown because I am counting
Yes.
the Panic at the Disco one. I also wrote down Lost in the Woods and Show Yourself.
Incredible answers. Yeah, Into the Unknown, both versions, definitely. Show Yourself, definitely. I will also say Some Things Never Change, which is not my favorite song, but it is the catchiest to me, and I find myself singing it all the time. So I feel like by default, it has to be on my life's playlist because I am just constantly
That's
singing that
another
tune to
one.
myself.
That's another one too that sounded like for the first time in forever.
I think that was very much the mirror to it, which for the first time in forever, I also sing a lot to myself. But yeah, some things never change. It's just, I don't know, the beat, I just get going and I sing it in the car all the time.
I'm not shaming you. You're allowed to answer this however you feel
Thank
like
you.
you
I
want to answer
appreciate
it.
that. I appreciate that.
But unfortunately,
Yeah.
Casey, on that note, we're done with the episode.
Oh
We
my God, I
did
had so
it.
much fun.
Yeah, welcome to Life's But a Song.
I'm in the LBS, no, LBAS universe. Love it.
LaBasse universe.
Love
But
it.
Casey, what do you have to plug or promote?
Not a whole lot. If I haven't completely annoyed you and you're actually interested in hearing more from me, I am very active on Twitter, Serialized, and Letterboxd, talking about my favorite movies and TV shows and music and whatever else I'm hyper fixating on at the moment. Right now it's Chapel Roan, obviously. So if you're interested, you can follow me at those places at Casey Watches TV, CaseyWTCheStv. I have
No
opinions.
A in
You probably won't
watches.
like them.
No A in wa No A in watches.
Did I skip the A? I think I did.
Okay.
WATCHESTV.
And that's
I went
what
to
is it?
school for English. You wouldn't be able to tell.
What is that? Letterboxed?
Letterboxd, Twitter, sorry, X, if you're gonna call it that,
Whatever.
and Serialized, where I track all my TV shows.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, I love to track the media that I consume. Also on Goodreads. I don't know if that's Casey Watches TV. Whatever. I don't look at the books that I read.
We'll just focus on the visual media. How's
Yes.
that?
Yes. And that's pretty much it for me.
And if you have more to say about Frozen 2, or if you have some more fun facts that Wikipedia, IMDb, nor Casey mentioned in this episode, feel free to message me. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com. Also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads. Yes, I still call it Twitter at buttersongpod. Which version of Into the Unknown do you prefer over the other one, and why is it Panic at
Yeah.
the
Yeah.
Disco?
And if it's not, how does it feel to be wrong?
But I mean, you're still right because it's still a good song with
Right.
Idina
It's an
Menzel.
acceptable answer. It's just not the preferred
It's
answer.
not the preferred one, no. And if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, well, we're continuing on with seasonal episodes. Our winter seasonal episodes, and we'll be discussing Jingle Jangle.
Ooh,
Yes.
delightful.
Yes. Casey, welcome to the family, the
Thank you so
LaBasse
much.
family,
Thrilled to
and
be here.
we'll have you back soon.
Amazing.
And everyone, thank you for listening, and bye for now.
Special thanks to Aaron Choi for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.